to think that the grave ended it all, but I'm glad that for that third day, there's something about the third day. And I appreciate the Lord this morning. I appreciate you being here in the Lord's house this morning. Seems like our number's off just a little bit, but that's expected with all the sickness and stuff going around. But nevertheless, we're going to preach to the ones of us that are here, with the Lord will help us today. Good to have some of you back that's been out. Miss Chris is back, and so good to have you back. It's good to see you, young lady. You know who you are, and I see others around here, some people that I've actually invited myself. Miss Tammy, good to have you a part of our service today. Worship along with us today. And by way of electronic marvel, we've got Brother Kenny and Miss Shirley listening by way of telephone FaceTime this morning. So hello, Brother Kenny and Miss Shirley. We're praying for y'all. You continue praying for them. Pray for Miss May. And like Brother Kippy's already used the altar, brother, I can't think of anywhere better for you to be than right here getting help. I didn't realize your story until I got a little more intimate with your family this week. And his daddy had passed away all the way back 50 years ago. So Miss Arvalu had a hard time raising four knucklehead boys. And I won't put the knuckle on any one of them more so than the other. But one of them ended up in prison for 30 years. And the others, they've all done well in service for their community and to each other. And we're going to keep praying for you, son. I didn't realize that. I can't imagine. My mama had five boys, and I know what what grief we caused her. So I can imagine your mama had her hands full with four of you boys. Because I know how boys were, but my sister-in-law Annette has got pneumonia. She's at home, but nevertheless, she's battling that, so you pray for them as well. I'll be in the book of 1 Kings today with the Lord as my helper. In chapter number 19, these are some very, very familiar scriptures that we'll bring into our hearing this morning. But by way of introduction, let me just say this. I walked past the front entrance of our church, and whether, I don't know, most of you leave here like the building's on fire on Sunday morning because you're trying to beat the Methodist to the restaurant, and you probably don't even stop long enough to look around at your surroundings out there. But there's a granite marker that's put in the wall out there, right to the right side. If you go out over to the right side of the door, you'll see that thing implanted into the brick. Have you ever stopped to even look at that thing? And if that thing, if you've never seen it, stop and just maybe put your fingerprint in the etched out granite that's out there. And it'll tell you some things about Calvary. It'll tell you the date that it was founded and the date that it was rebuilt and some stuff like that. But do you realize that come April of next year, in April of 2021, the church has a birthday? And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about all the men of God that's been through this place of worship. I think about all the souls, Brother Tam, that would have come up here and accepted the wonderful gift of grace through faith in the only begotten of the Father, maybe at the front of this church, or maybe when it was the old rock church, or maybe whenever it was before it was the remodeled new church. Or anyway, I got to thinking that come 75 years next year, what this church has stood for as a beacon of hope in this very community. And I got to thinking about that, and God started working that around in my heart. And I got a message for you today, and here's the simple, it's probably one of the most simple messages you've ever heard. God's not done with us yet. And I believe that's the message God's got on my heart for today, that He's not done with us just yet. 74 years this church has stood for the sinner to come in and be saved. We're not over here as a museum for those of us that's already saved. That's not what church is all about. We're not in here to be seen, nor to see anybody. We're in here, bless God, we come in here and we get saved by God's grace, and then we just keep on keeping on for the glory of God, trying our best to share this wonderful story with others that were just like us. Some as such were some of us. We were lost and undone without God. So we're just going to keep repeating the story over and over and over. We'll tell this grand old story. And God's not done with us yet, because if He was done with us by now, He would have already removed our candlestick from its place, and we would no longer be shedding the light. So I'll give you a chance to stand in one more time and reverence the reading of God's Word. Stretch your legs. But we do want to revere the Word of God for what it is. It's awesome. It's all powerful. And I'm going to start reading in the book of 19th chapter of the book of Kings. And I'm probably only going to read about one verse of scripture. That'll be chapter number 19 of 1 Kings and verse number 18. And then we'll preach just a little while on this thought. God's not done with us yet. The Bible says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. Aren't you glad that there's still some people that have not bowed unto the gods of this world? Aren't you glad that even though we might feel small in number, Brother John, we are still the majority with God? He's always going to have a remnant. And we might be small in comparison to the worldwide wholesale numbers of people that are on this great planet. But my friend, when it's you and God, you are the majority. Here's what he said, and he said, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Brother Varun, if you would ask God to bless our scripture reading today, I'm going to bring us that message that God's not done yet. Amen. Even as you're being seated, do you ever feel like sometime that you're the Lone Ranger? Do you ever feel like you're the only one? Don't tell me I'm alone in feeling that way. Sometimes you just feel like, brother, you've just saddled up your one horse and one saddle and going off with one Lord. But let me tell you, as long as you're going with the Lord, you're all right. It doesn't matter if the whole world turns against you. As long as God's with you, then who can be against you? The Bible said that if he be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't just say that we are conquerors, my friends. What does the Bible declare? We are conquerors. I'll give you that much, and I'll give the scripture that much. I'll give God that much credit. Connor, we are conquerors through Christ Jesus. But he didn't just say, Brother Preston, that we are conquerors. What did he say? He said we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, but God, but we are more than conquerors through him. And having said that, if God was done with Calvary Baptist Church, or God was done with you as an individual, when that particular moment in time comes, bless God, just about that fast, you're out of here, you're gone, be it by the beating of your heart stopping, or be it by the rapture of a cloud, that the Lord steps back and says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. We're out of here when the Lord's done with us, and we're still here, so that means we still got a greater purpose. And I want to help us today for just a little while and just ask you, has God proven faithful to you? And if you would have to say in the affirmative, hey man, God has been faithful to me, then my goodness, let me turn that whole thing around and ask you, have you been faithful to him? Funny how the amens go from amens to oh me's very quickly. But let me just ask you real quickly, and you can back up if you'd like to, and you don't have to, but if you would like to, just back up to chapter number 17, and let me just bring you fast forward just a little bit. Was God faithful in the early days of Elijah? I would have to say amen. Was he faithful by the barrel? Was he faithful by the brook? Was he faithful by the boy? You said, I don't know what all that's about. Elijah prayed that it rain not. And Brother Tam, for 3.5 years, there wasn't a drop of rain come on the earth. But nevertheless, did God prove himself faithful or did he not? Amen. He led Elijah down by a brook which was called Cherith. And while he was down there, was God faithful in the drought or was he not? Is he faithful in your drought or is he not? Is he going to be faithful after the drought or is he not? Brother John, God was faithful down by the brook in that he commanded even the ravens to bring bread. Hear them things come with them flapping wings and every one of them, Brother Derek, bringing in a morsel of meat, bringing something for the man of God that the man of God might be sustained even during the time of drought, even by a brook. But then as time goes on, preacher, that brook dried up. Read along with me in chapter number 17, and I'll just read that verse to you. Chapter number 17 tells us in verse number 7, and it came to pass that after a while the brook dried up. You said, uh-oh, God has lost his faithfulness. Let me suggest to you, God did not lose his faithfulness. He wasn't done with Elijah just yet, and he's not done with us just yet. But God, when the brook dried up, you said, well, God's faithfulness proved out, and he's done. He's far spent. The brook dried up. God's not able to make the waters run anymore. Bless God, there was a further work to be done. And if he had not dried up the brook that Elijah sat beside, Elijah would have sat beside the brook from now on. Why would you move, Brother Derek? I'll just sit here. Why? Because in just a short time from now, here come the ravens. I'll just sit right here and wait on my meat to get here. But bless God, God proved faithful by the brook. He proved faithful during the drought. He proved faithful after. Why? Because there was a barrel waiting on him. You said, wait a minute, preacher. There was a barrel waiting on him. Was he faithful by the barrel? He was as faithful by the barrel as he was by the brook. Because when the brook dried up, he said, go down to Zarephath where I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And bless God, when he got there, he knew where there was at. The little widow woman had knew that he was coming. And no matter, God walks up and said, what are you doing? She said, I'm about ready to eat the last meal. My son and I are out here and we're just picking up sticks. We're going to bake a cake and then that's the end of it.
Amen. You're right.
You said, I thought God was faithful. He is faithful.
Amen.
You said if the brook dried up, where was God's faithfulness? He moved into the next place.
Right.
You said, well, wait a minute. If she's going to eat her last meal, her and her son's going to die. Ain't that what it said? That's what the scripture said. Read along. We're in chapter number 18. Or it could still be in 17. I don't even know where I'm at. It is still in chapter number 17, verse number 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Oh, well, get verse number 12. That's where it looks like the Lord just finally kaput. It looks like he's done. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and live eternally. That's not what that says. King James Bible said we're going to go in, we're going to eat it and die. You said, I thought the Lord proved faithful through everything. Brother, he was faithful down by the brook, and he's faithful here by this barrel, because if you'll keep on reading, bless God, whenever she did what God commanded her to do, which was go in and bake first the man of God a cake, Brother Tam, she'd reach her hand down in there and no doubt scrape around Brother Kippy into the bottom of that barrel. And Brother, as she was a digging way down in there, and you can see her long arm going all the way down to the bottom of the barrel, and she'd scrape around, and she'd get it out, Brother Tam, as soon as she'd get out the meal and pour a little bit of that oil, God would throw in a couple of handfuls right behind her.
Amen.
You said, you show me that in the scriptures. It's in there. Read on. Look, let's just read verse number 16. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, has spoke to Elijah.
Amen.
So is he done, kaput, over with, finished, or is he not? I'm telling you, God was not through with Elijah just yet. He proved him faithful down by the brook. He proved him faithful there by the barrel. He's going to prove him faithful in this young boy's life, because that same boy that was about ready to eat his last meal and then go off and die, if you'll keep reading down through there, that's exactly what happened.
Right.
You said, what? That youngin died? Then you said, then God ain't faithful. Read on. It came to pass that after these things, verse number 17, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. To me, if there's no breath left in him, what is that?
Dead.
He's done. Keep reading. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? Thou man of God, art thou come to call my sin to remembrance, so to slay my son? He said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into the loft where he abode and laid on him his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, thou hast brought evil upon the widow whom I sojourned by slaying her son. And he stretched out himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come again unto him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber of the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah says, see, thy son liveth. I told you he was faithful down by the brook. He's faithful by the barrel. And he's faithful by the boy. God's going to keep his promise. Why? Because there's still yet a work to do. Not only in Elijah's life, but in the life of that boy.
Amen.
Or he said, I'm just going to keep him and take him home. So I ask you, is he done with Chad? Is he done with John? Is he done with me? Is he done with Calvary? Is he done with all of us? Is he finished with Charles Bumgarner? I suggest, Brother Charles, that he's not done with us yet. Because if he was, he'd have done come and got us and claimed us. That ain't even the message. That's just a little warm up. Y'all still all right?
Amen.
Y'all gonna be all right?
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Let's go over to chapter number 18. Just kind of walk through 18 just a little bit. Am I kind of a commander? I'm kind of the one marching the troops, right? I'm not the drill sergeant. The drill sergeants cuss too much. I was in the service. I know how they are, and I don't cuss. But I'm kind of the overseer of the flock, right, Brother Tim? And if I'm kind of the commander, the overseer of the charge, does that not kind of make y'all like soldiers? Is that right? Give me 50. No, don't. What's that? Yeah. Amen. I'll give you 50 amen. Don't ask me to do push-ups. Some of you would have a trouble spot right there. Some of you, no doubt, could do it. The Bible says, chapter number 18, verse number 1, and it came to pass that after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And I want you to read that part again. And it came to pass that after many days the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And it came to pass not after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And it came to pass not after many days the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Bless God, all I'm asking you to do, brother, today is hear the word of the Lord. Hear what he's telling you to do. Hear what he's telling us to do. Hear what he's challenging every one of us to do. So today I just want to do this. I want to charge you as good soldiers of the cross. And you said, I don't even know what a good soldier of the cross is. If you wanted to look along with me, you could go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And the Bible said, thou therefore in chapter 2 verse number 3, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because no man having warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be the soldier. So today, bless God, I want to charge you as good soldiers of the cross and challenge you to do this. Keep going for God. It's not popular whenever we do what we're doing, but upon the authority of God's word, it is the proper thing. It is the right thing. It's the good thing. It's the beneficial thing. It's the blessed thing to do what God said to do, because it said, and the word came unto Elijah. The word came unto Elijah. And that's what we need to hear, Brother Kim. The word of God that gives us our marching orders. Amen. It's not always popular. It's just not. I like to say that everybody loves the Baptist doctrine, but they don't. I like that everybody said in the community that speaks well of Calvary, but they won't. I like to say that every member of Calvary walks close to the Lord, but we don't. I'd like to say that everybody around here's got a halo and that thing spits shine and polishes and shines like a new dollar, but it doesn't.
You're right.
It just doesn't. Nor will everybody speak highly of us. Nor will everybody speak highly of the doctrine in which we preach. Nobody will speak highly. Everybody won't speak highly of our Savior, because we call out the abominable. We call out that is sinful. We challenge the status quo. We don't always go exactly with the ebb and tide of popularity. And if there's anything we're not, we are not politically correct. Nor should we. I'd rather be biblically correct than politically correct on any given day of the week. Political correctness is killing a society of young people coming up, not knowing what they can say and what they can do and where they can pray and where they can't pray. And let me tell you, throw that junk out the window and do what the Bible said. Pray without ceasing. Keep a prayer on your heart. I'm challenging you, my soldiers, today. It may not be popular, but I want to challenge you to do it anyway. When men revile you, go anyway. When kings and governors and princes and principalities and governmental officials make foolish decrees that would conflict with your holiness and with God being in your part of your life, go with God. Amen. Go that way. And they will. They'll make foolish decrees just like they did under Daniel. They could find no reason to accuse him according to the way he lives, so they said, we'll get him according to his God. Therefore, you're not going to pray anymore. Go anyway. I'm challenging you, my friends, to go with God. Because he's not done with us yet. He's got a greater purpose and a greater work for us. You say, well, what is the challenge unto us? Just keep doing what you've been doing. Keep walking the ways of the Lord. Don't be lazy. You know what laziness is? It's a sin. A lackadaisical spirit and a lackadaisical attitude will lead to a lethargic congregation. We come in here, Brother Tam, and we act like we're asleep. We act like nothing matters. We act like the whole world can die and go to hell, and it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference, because one of them kids might be your family member that's going to slip off into hell. Be found faithful. Be found steadfast. There's something to be said for steadfastness. Be solid in your walk and solid in your faith. The Bible said, Brother Brian, that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. You two need to make up and sit together. Get on the same pew. Get on the same page. Y'all need a group hug. God wants stability. He wants steadfastness. I don't give you a plug nickel for a preacher that I meet at the cattle sale down here, and he's cursing and swearing, walking wayward to the cross. Next thing I know, he's wanting a place to preach. He need not look toward Calvary. Brother Derek, they're out there. I meet them. They're out all over amongst the place, and they're just not stable. They're not stable in their walk with Christ, in that stability that I hope to see, Brother Scott. It's just not there. They're cursing and swearing, and all manners of evil proceeding out of their mouth. And then all of a sudden, they find out that you're a preacher. Whoa! Let me get you over to the church sometime. I'm not sure you won't be over to church sometime. That happens. Little lady told me one day, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "I am a pastor." She said, "I'm a pastor too." She said, "I'm going to get you to come and preach at my church." And I said, "Oh, no, you won't. Don't ask me to preach at your church, Brother Derek, when the Lord props you up to be a pastor cursing and swearing. Be found faithful. Let me challenge you, my soldier of the cross. Be faithful. If the Lord says march, then march. If he says stop, then stop. If he says mark time, then mark time. But if he says do whatever, you need to go with him. There's usually a price to pay whenever you don't do what your commanding officer is telling you to do. So let me just challenge you, soldiers, today. Keep going for God. The Bible said in verse number 1, "And it came to pass of 18, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go and show thyself unto Ahab." So what's Elijah to do now? What's he got to do? He said, "I've got to go see Ahab." So who does he go through? He goes through Obadiah. Look what it says. Let me just read just a little passage right here. He said, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth." Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called unto Obadiah, which was the governor of his house, and Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And so it was, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Go all the way down to verse number 8. Let's get number 7. Obadiah was in the way, and Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, "Art thou the Lord, my Lord Elijah?" And he said, "I am. Go and tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." He said, "What? Have I seen that thou wast delivered thy servant to the hand of Ahab and slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not there," he took an oath of the kingdom of the nation. They found thee not. "And now thou sayest, Go and tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee." Here's what Obadiah said. Obadiah said, "You're going to get me killed. You're wanting me to go to the king and tell him that the man of God's out here." He said, "As soon as I'm gone," look what he said, "As soon as I'm gone from thee, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And when I come and tell Ahab and that he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." He said, "I don't know what to do." He said, "I'm in betwixt right here. Should I go tell Ahab that you're out here? As sure as I do, the Spirit of the Lord is going to call you out of here, leave me standing there and looking like I don't know what I'm talking about. He's going to kill me because of what God's going to do in your life." God's not done with him yet. God's not done with Obadiah yet. God's not done with Elijah yet. And God's not done with you yet. And he's not done with me yet. And he's not done with us yet. So I want to give you this next thing. 1 Kings chapter number 21. Elijah come unto all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" What's he getting ready to do now? He's getting ready to confront the sinners. "Preacher, that's all y'all like to do up there at Calvary, confront sinners." No, I just got through charging and challenging the saints, challenging the soldiers, encouraging your walk, telling you to stay in here. You said, "But it seems like every time we come up here, y'all preach it on sin." Quit sinning. Pretty good. That's pretty good. Pretty good preaching. "I don't like to hear preaching on sin." Then quit sinning. Shout. Amen. "Preacher, every time we come up here, somebody's laying it out hard against sin. I don't know anything else to preach but sin." I asked a preacher friend of mine, I said, "Right now, preacher, what's on your church sign?" He said, "What's on there? What do I want to put on there?" I said, "What's on your church sign right now?" He said, "It's probably something about like come in and be blessed." I said, "Okay, now what would you like to put on there?" He said, "Come in for a butt chewing." I said, you would put that on your church sign? He said, no, that's why I don't say that. He said, but that's all I seem to get done. He said, my people want to live so wicked. He said, I'd like to put it on the church sign for y'all to come in here and get a butt chewing. He said, because that's all I get done is chewing people out, telling them to live right, walk right, live holy, live uprighteously, live holy before God. But he said, they don't listen. None of us do. None of us listen real well. We've all got sin in our lives. You say, I don't. Oh, good, be a good place for you to park up and get in the altar because you just told a lie. Bible's clarified that in the book of John, whenever he said, for all have sinned. He said, if you have sinned, he said, come on in here. Little children, I write and tell you that you don't do it. But if you do, guess what? You've got an advocate with the Father. He said, I'll help you through it. But if you say you have no sin, what'd he say? You make him a liar. Truth not in you. So let's keep going. I'm trying to confront the sinners here. A lot of times we give Elijah the charge over 450 prophets of Baal. But if you'll go back and read verse number 19, it said, now therefore send and gather to me all the Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450. It doesn't stop there. There's a total of 850 prophets because he said, go get those 450 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, being 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. He said, go get them all. So if I was going to confront the sinners today, I would use this verses number 23, 24, 27, 28, 29, 30 maybe. But I'm just going to walk down through there. And he tells them, you need to choose your sin or choose your God. You better make up your mind which side you're on, because here's what he says in verse number 23. He says, give us two bullocks and let them choose the one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. He said, I'm going to let you choose. He said, call on the name of your God and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, then let him be God. And the people answered and said, that's well spoken. That's well spoken. They like that. Look what it said at the latter part of that verse. They said in the latter part of 24, it's well spoken. Right. Elijah said unto you, now you get to choose. I'm telling you today, you get to choose. You ever heard somebody say, pick your poison? Bless God, you can pick poison or you can pick Jesus. You can pick poison, you can pick passion. You can choose sin or you can choose a Savior. You can choose that a life of debauchery and sin and go down that path, or you can choose a life of blessings and forgiveness and eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. They thought it was well spoken. Didn't come out as well whenever they started their mully grubbing, whining, crying, speaking and cutting and carving on their own flesh, trying to figure out where their little God was at. Elijah said, choose you one of the bullocks for yourselves and dress it. 25. Verse 26 said, they took the bullock and they dressed it. They called into the name of Baal from morning until noon. Can you see him out there about 6 o'clock in the morning? Oh, Baal, hear us. Look what it says. It's right in the middle of 26. Oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar that was made. The pious and righteous and holy Elijah said, maybe your God's asleep. Pious and holy Elijah, maybe he's on a journey. Maybe your God's are slumbering. I love Elijah. It came to pass that Elijah mocked him. He's not as pious and holy as you thought he was. He said, wait a minute, cry a little louder. For he's a God, either he's talking. Maybe he can't hear you because he's the one doing the talking. Maybe he's pursuing. Maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he took a journey. Maybe he's asleep. Cry a little louder that he might be awake. Wake up, Baal. Don't you like it when the preacher, Brother Tan, gets right down to the sin you're living in and somebody walks out the door and says, who told him? Who told him? Has anybody ever come, well, I can't ask you, anybody ever come up to you preachers and said, who told you? It's happened here. I preached one time on bearing false witness and preached about the boundary line. I had no idea that the peg was there and the peg was here. And I preached it that way, Brother Tim. I said the boundary line used to be here and now somebody's moved the stake over here and we're in a tizzy over 3 foot of land that narrows to a peak. And I preached that, Brother Gary. You know what happened? My phone rang the next day. I said, I don't know who told you about that. We don't know who told you about us moving that peg. But that peg had to be put back in its rightful place. And I'm like, you said, well, who did tell you? Nobody told me about the peg. I was using it as an illustration that to be a thief, it doesn't always mean that you took money out of the plate. It could be you rolled your odometer back on your car. It could be that you sold a car that you had a blown head gasket in. You tried to cover it up. I had that same thing happen. You say, you sold that Nissan with a blown head gasket to somebody down in Georgia. You didn't tell them about it? No, I told them everything about that thing. I said, this is the worst truck I've ever owned. Carol, and I'm sorry, honey, you own a Nissan four-door white Nissan pickup, and I'm sorry for that thing. If it was any others other than yours, I'd take my .30-06 and put a bullet right through the block. I sold that thing and traded that thing, Brother Tam, on a promise. That man down in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia, said, you get it down here. I said, can I put it on a rollback? He said, no, don't you bring that thing down here on a rollback. So I can't get Bobbickdale. Can't get your brother to run it down there. Take it down there, Brother Jerry, and roll it off about 2 blocks from the dealership and drive it on. That would have been deceitful. I said, I'm not doing that. I said, Kippy, I'll drive that thing from Wilkes County to Augusta, Georgia. He said, I'll give you this amount of money for it. If you drive it from Wilkes County to there, he said, there ain't enough wrong with it for me not to make this deal. So what'd we do? We had Jake and Macy behind us. Just in case we broke down and they drove one car. Sometimes they were the lead car and sometimes I was the pace car. Sometime, brother, I stopped in Arby's in Statesville, North Carolina. Thing boiled over right there in the parking lot. I'm like, get this thing down to Georgia. I got to get shed of it. I wasn't dishonest in my dealings. But sometimes it sure looks like they cried aloud, cut themselves after the manner of their knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them, and it came to pass. Verse number 29. When the midday was past, they prophesied unto the time of the offering to eat the sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor answer. God wasn't done with Elijah, because here's what happens. After he had challenged the soldiers to stay in the fight and told them they were hid in camps of 50 around, and he reassured Obadiah that he wasn't going to abandon him and that God was telling him to go, he confronted the sinners. And now here he goes in chapter number 19, verses number, I'm over 19, verses number, you read the rest of that sometime, verses number 4 through 5. But he himself went a day's journey. This is after the fire has failed and consumed the sacrifice. Licked up the water in the trench after the 850 prophets had been slain, then God is doing a mighty work in the hand of Elijah, and Elijah sudden feels like it's all over with. I'd like to have preached this message to him and said, God's not done with you yet. I would have liked to have come by and kind of comforted the saints a little bit and said, Elijah, God's not done with you yet. Bible says in verse number 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He said, it is enough. Oh, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And he lay and slept under the juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. Now, here's a miracle in and of itself. He did arise and he did eat. And the Bible said that if you'll read verse number 8, he arose and he did eat and drink. And the Bible said that he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. It didn't say that he ate every other day or three times a day. He said that he went, in verse number 8, the Bible said that he did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto the mount, which was called Horeb. Let me encourage you folks to keep eating. Keep staying, keep walking, keep serving, keep doing what you've been doing. I'm trying to get out here to close this thing in here in just a minute. I want you to continue in the labors of the love of God. I want you to continue to serve. Verse number 14 said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars. They've slain thy prophets with a sword. And he said, I only am left, and they seek to take my life. I purposefully skipped a verse just above that, a couple verses above that. That's between you and God. When your earthquakes and your mountains move and everything comes against you and it feels like the whole world, don't always assume that God's in all of that calamity. When your refrigerator tears up and your truck needs a new transmission and this blows up and that blows up, don't credit God with everything that happens. But when he starts speaking, look what it said. And after the earthquake, a fire, but after the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. If I could get us all to a point of realization that there's a still, small voice that still speaks to the hearts of God's children, I would then come for you to understand that that still, small voice is telling you to do something. It's not just leaving us here to look pretty. We're not bookends. We're not sit up here on the shelf just to look pretty and do nothing. He's left this church here as a beacon of hope. He's left this thing here in all of its full charge and glory, Brother Scott, for 74 years for the greater purpose of seeing souls saved. Everybody comes through here tells me, man, what a special place y'all have got up there. What a special place y'all have got up there. What a special place y'all have got up there. And then I sit back and I think, man, don't we ever take this thing for granted? Boy, don't we take it for granted? Do we not take this place for granted? I suggest that we do. Man, we shouldn't, but we do. I want to get down here and I want to get to that verse number 18 where I started out with. I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Everybody in here today has got a purpose. Whether you're young or old, whether you're physically fit or not so physically fit, if you're still here, you've got a purpose. Brother Gary, you don't go as strong, hard charging as you used to. It wasn't nothing for you to drive 13, 14 days straight, unload here and pick up there and pick up there and run over yonder. You're not charging that hard anymore. But God's still got a purpose for you, I promise you. If he didn't, you'd have been gone. I could go back through here and I can find those people. I get a phone call once in a while from Little Miss May. I get a phone call once in a while from Little Miss Ray. I get a phone call once in a while from these people. You say, what are they calling you for? Pour all their troubles in your ear? This is about how it goes, Miss Belva. Hey, Preacher Mark. I said, well, hey, honey, how are you? I'm fine. I said, what you been up to? Well, just going to get this treatment, just going to get that treatment, doing this, doing that. I said, well, bless your heart, we've been praying for you. Well, I just called to tell you I loved you. Just called to tell you I don't need anything. I just wanted to call and let you know I'm praying for you. Brother Jerry, that does as much for me as anything that's ever happened in my life to know that these little ladies that don't have anything to give, Brother John, they don't have anything really to offer. They don't go knocking on doors. They don't go to conferences. They don't come in here and shout and lift up holy hands. They don't do all that, but you know what they're doing, Miss Karen? They're sitting back praying, asking the Lord to bless us today, asking the Lord to keep his hand on the man today. I'm telling you what, hey, Preacher Mark, I don't need anything. Just called to tell you I loved you. Just called to tell you I'm praying for you. I come home from work sometime, and I'll tell Miss, I said, Miss Ray called today. She said, she okay? I said, yeah, she just called to say I love you. That's a blessing to me. And you know what that does to me, Brother Dean? It encourages me to keep going on. And it serves as a constant reminder that God's not done with me yet. God's not done with us yet. And I'm encouraging you today to stay in this thing as a good soldier. You're not trying to please me. The Bible said that you might please him that hath called you to be the soldier. No man worth entangled himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except strive lawfully. Do it God's way or don't do it at all. Amen. As we stand all over the house of praise today, if you've sat on the sidelines, get back into fight. If it's your time by the brook, get your refreshing and get in here. BJ might need a place down by the brook. Get out of the way and let him get back in here. Let him have his time of refreshing. But let's all don't get dinner at the same time. Has God proved himself faithful? Has God proved himself faithful in your life? Have you ever had a brook? Did your brook ever dry up? Have you ever had a barrel? Did your barrel ever run out? Have you ever had a blessing that was too big? You said, where'd that come from? You just sit back like the preacher preached during our revival and said, that had to be God. That just had to be God. You ever done that, Brother Paul? Just look and say, man, that had to be God. There's no other explanation. God's not done with us yet. Continue to serve.